Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. I hope you all had a nice Christmas holiday, and we thank God for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We celebrate his birth. Of course, we don't know exactly what day he was born, but we know that he was born in Bethlehem. We know that he was born of a virgin. We know that Jesus Christ always was, and he always will be, that God sent his only begotten Son into this world to save sinners. And Jesus Christ was born. He lived 33 years on this earth, and he died on the cross for our sins. He was resurrected from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, forever making intercession for us. Hallelujah. So we thank God for his wonderful gift. And we're going to talk today about some important news stories. I'm just going to also talk a little bit about some of the programs that we did this year, as we do our year in review. And we are approaching another year, 2015. What will it hold for us? We don't know. None of us know exactly what every day will bring. But we know that because we have Jesus Christ in our life, and because he is the Lord of our life, that we can get through things. And no matter what life brings us, we can get through with God's help. I don't know what people do without God in the world that we live in, but I just wanted to talk right now about salvation. And maybe there's some people that listen to me, and you're not born again. You don't know what it means to be born again. You hear about Christianity. You might see some different forms of Christianity. Like the other night, they have this Catholic channel on the satellite, and there's the Pope, and he's in this magnificent building loaded with gold and marble and artwork, and the clothing alone that the cardinals had on and the Pope was probably worth hundreds of thousands of dollars just to have those custom-made clothes for this event. And then there is golden candelabras and golden chalices, and there was a statue of Mary in there, and the Pope was talking to this statue. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that's weird. Where is that in the Bible that we're supposed to talk to statues? That's very strange. So that is not a Christian church. That is not Christianity. And then the Pope, he holds up a wafer, this round wafer. He holds it up in the air, and people are bowing down to this thing. Well, I, from what I've read in the Bible and from what I know of Jesus Christ, he never went into a wafer. How can anybody believe that? How can anybody believe? Now, if you are in your right mind, okay, and God gave us all the ability to think, he gave us a mind so that we could use it. And so how could anybody believe that Jesus Christ, God himself, crawls into a chalice and he is in a wafer? Doesn't happen. But that's one of the deceptions that we have, where people say, well, this is Christian. Well, this is not Christian. So everything that says I'm a Christian, if there's no biblical evidence there for Christianity, because people can talk about Jesus, but they don't know who he is. They don't know who he is. You can't know who he is and believe that he lives in a wafer and then talk to statues, and it's just not Christianity. So I ask all of the listeners, and if you have relatives that are involved in these false religious systems, that if you get an opportunity to share the gospel with them, the real gospel, that Jesus Christ is a real person. He lived in a body on the earth. He ascended into heaven in a body, and he looks like a real person. We are created in the image and likeness of God, all of us. It doesn't matter what color you are. We all created in the image and likeness of God. And we are all descended from Adam and Eve, all of us. So that's where it all began. But anyway, I'm going to read some of these things here from Romans. Now, you might consider yourself a good person, but that's not enough just because you say I'm a good person that you're going to get to heaven, because Romans 3:23 says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we all know, no matter how good we are, that we all have sinned, and we still sin. We still miss the mark. We still need forgiveness every day. We should all have an attitude of repentance. And the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. So if you want to read these scriptures, you can read them for yourself. Romans 3:23, Romans 3:10, Romans 5:12. And Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Jesus said in John 3, third of John, that ye must be born again. So first you're born of your mother. And not because you were baptized as a baby, because confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. You couldn't say anything when you were a baby. So it's because somebody brought you to a church and they splashed water on you, and your godparents and your mother and your father considered that a way to get you into their church. Well, everybody has to stand before God one day and answer for their life. So just because you were sprinkled as a baby and whatever ceremony was performed over you, you have to make a decision for yourself who you will serve. So God is not going to ask you about the Pope. He's not going to ask you about what Jimmy Swaggart did. He's not going to ask you about what TBN did or You're not going to stand before God, and he's going to say, and you're going to say to God, well, you know, look what they did. And you are going to have to answer for your own life and give an account for what you did while you were here on the earth. So you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, not the religion of your mother or your father, and acting rebellious, and no one can offer you any advice. You should be willing to listen to people. We learn from each other. None of us know everything. So thank God somebody told me one time in 1980, they told me, well, you know, you're messed up. And I was like, well, I'm not messed up. I went home from that dinner, and I was really angry at those people because I said, how dare they say that I messed up? But it wasn't a few weeks later that I said to myself, yeah, I am messed up. So I had to realize that I needed forgiveness for my sins. I needed Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life because I wasn't doing a very good job being my own Lord. So if you're suffering today from mental illness, from depression, from suicidal thoughts, from adultery, from fornication, from drug use, from alcoholism, from being a con artist, from being a thief, or whatever else ails you today, there is an answer. And you can have deliverance from all these things. You can have a brand new life. And God promises that he will give us a new life in Christ. Old things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new. And I can testify that that is true. I don't know how God does it. I know that I Jesus to come into my life, and I meant what I said. I wanted forgiveness of my sins, and I wanted a new life, and he gave me that. One day I was one person, and then the next day I was a new creation. So I like the new life a lot better than the messed up, stupid life that I had before I knew God. So I'm sure that you might be out there today, and you realize that you've got a messed up, stupid life, and you can't change it. You can't fix it. Nobody else can fix it for you. So it's time to stop blaming other people and to answer to God for yourself and let him give you a brand new life today, because serving God is a wonderful life. You know, they have that movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Well, it's a wonderful life to be a Christian. So today we had in the news, we had a funeral here in Florida. There was a police officer that was killed on Tarpon Springs, Florida, and they had the funeral at the Idlewild Baptist Church in Tampa, and that's a big church. It probably seats over 5,000 people, and it was pretty well packed there. So, and then they had the funeral in New York City, which was heavily attended by other law enforcement. And I'm probably going to do a few more programs on this whole issue of the of what's going on with these demonstrations. And but I think as Christians, really, whatever has happened to us in our past, that we have to forgive people, and we have to look at things through the light of the gospel, And we can't harbor bitterness and hatred for things that have happened in the past. We can't change the past. We can't fix the past because the past is over. So we have today, and we can make changes for today. But I think it's a good idea, too, to try to understand about law enforcement is maybe some people should spend a day following police around, and just to get an idea of what their job entails. It's it's not a glamorous job. It's not a safe job. It's a very hard job to do. And I noticed today too that some of the police at the funeral there in New York, they turned their back on the mayor, and I have to agree with that, because the rhetoric, especially people that are in political office, public office, and even people like myself and other people that preach the gospel on the public airways, you have to be careful what you say. Because you can incite people, which it's not very hard to do. I use this example, like in my neighborhood, I don't see anybody coming out of their houses here on my block with signs and screaming about things. People have to be incited to riot. They have to be incited for the most part, for some of these protests. So most of these things are organized by professional people who like to incite people and get people all stirred up. Do you notice that even on the news, I noticed the last couple nights, there wasn't any reporting on the protests and on the riots, because most of the newscasters were on vacation, so things were a little quiet. But you notice that the news media, they like to play up a lot of these stories, and they like to incite people, and they like to misrepresent the facts, which is done quite a bit. So anyway, I think it's all interesting, but it's a part of the year in review, is that we can see how quickly things can get out of hand and how people can turn violent. You can push somebody's buttons just enough, and they can be very sweet and kind 1 minute, and you can get them to do things they probably wouldn't ordinarily do by inciting them. So, but as Christians, we're supposed to use temperance. We're supposed to be tempered. And I'm not against protest. I think people should protest peacefully. And of course, not block highways. And, it's ridiculous blocking bridges so that people can't get home from work. You spend a long day at work, you probably spend an hour driving to work, and then you have some idiot blocking your way so you can't get home. So that's enough to make people angry. If you want to protest, stay off the roads and stay on public property and protest, and let your grievances be made known. I know there's a few people, evangelists on YouTube that I've seen, that they go to Benny Hinn meetings and they protest. They stand out on the public sidewalk, which you won't get arrested, and they can't ask you to move. If you're on public property, you have every right to carry a sign and a bullhorn or whatever in protest. And they pass out flyers, and they warn people about going into the Benny Hinn meeting. And so I think if there are legitimate protests, that's fine. But We need to be peaceful and reasonable and remember not to incite people to violence. There isn't any reason to be violent and to hurt people just to try to prove a point. So we have another year ahead of us, and who knows what it's going to bring. But let's remember, as representatives of the kingdom of God, that we should do everything decently and in order, and to be careful what we say, how we say it, and not to incite people. But it's like, you know, especially the politicians and the some of the other people who I won't mention at the moment, but they need to, you know, tone it down. And because, trust me, there are some sick people out there in the world, and we've seen it. We've seen some things that people can do to each other. So we just need to use wisdom. But let me just look at a couple of things that I wrote down. For this year, we had the death of Miles Monroe, and I did a program on Miles Monroe. He was a pastor from the Bahamas. Him and his wife were in a crash with their Learjet. Their Learjet hit a crane while it was landing, and it blew up, and he was killed instantly, I guess, and with his wife and everybody that was on board. But shocking, really, very shocking. And you just never know what when you wake up in the morning, you just don't know what life is going to hold for you. And the Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die. So as children of God, we have an appointment with death. So there's really nothing you can do about that. We're all going to die. And for people that don't know the Lord, then I believe that, yeah, the devil could have a hand in killing them. But people that know God, I do not believe that the devil kills Christians, because God is sovereign and he has appointed the time of our death. So no devil in hell can take us out of here before our time. We are going to fulfill our life until God says it's time for us to go home. So I don't believe that we should give the devil any credit for taking Christians out, because Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life, not the devil. He certainly doesn't make decisions for me. We also had a missing plane. Now, whatever happened to that plane? How does a large jetliner, I think there was over 200 people on this plane, how does it just disappear and nobody knows what happened to it? This is the year 2014. Where is that plane? How did that happen? I don't know. Somebody shot down. Also, a jet was shot down, wasn't it, over the Ukraine? Now, how does that happen? And how does a passenger jetliner get shot down and the world governments don't do anything about it? It happened and nobody did anything about it. Now, that's very odd, isn't it? I find that very odd. Also, we have the Mark Driscoll, who is was the pastor of Mars Hill Church. And, you know, now when you go to some of these churches, they have the light shows and they have the pastor wears blue jeans and a polo shirt. And everybody's hip and everybody's modern. And the people on the worship team wear mini skirts and whatever. And of course, you don't talk about hell in these churches. No, you don't want to turn anybody off that might come through the door. So you don't talk about that. And so this guy, Mark Driscoll, kind of really kind of a new age kind of pastor. And he was getting very kind of strange with his authority and writing books, you know, talking to people about their sex life, which, you know, you wouldn't have any business talking about that in church. That's nobody's business. And I don't think pastors should be writing books about it and having seminars about it. It's really not fit for Sunday morning sermons. So anyway, I mean, this guy got very strange, but so many people started complaining about him, and thank God for the internet. Now, there is power in the internet for this time that we have now. You can have a voice out there. And so many people started complaining about this Mark Driscoll, and he had to resign as pastor. Now, this church is going to be supposedly closing up. And so here's a story. Now, this is strange right here. Mega church pastor Rick Warren, of all people, will give last Mars Hill sermon. Yes, Rick Warren himself. It says, the Mars Hill church is going out with a bang after imploding in a series of scandals and misconduct allegations through much of 2014. Mega church pastor Rick Warren, best-selling author of The Purpose-Driven Life, will speak to the Mars Hill congregations on the church's last Sunday before dissolving. Warren delivered the invocation prayer at President Obama's 2009 inauguration. So, there you go. The church is dissolving, and it should dissolve. Hopefully, more of the we'll be seeing more of these so-called ministries go by the wayside in 2015, and it can't happen soon enough. It's like I'm always amazed because now we don't get a lot of complaints about it, but every now and then people say will say, well, why do you spend so much time talking about giving? Okay, because why are these people still on television? Why are people like Rod Parsley, Mike Murdoch, Steve Munsey, Paula White, Richard and Lindsay Roberts, like, why are these people still around? Because people are still sending them millions of dollars. It costs millions of dollars to buy television time. And some of these people are on almost every single network that there is. So it's because people are still supporting these people. Why in the world would anybody that calls himself a Christian want to support these people in any form or fashion? Because they're not preaching the gospel. What kind of gospel is this that you have to bribe God with money and then God gives you money back because he sees the money in your hand? And it's like this morning, my mother was flipping through the channels, and there's Mike Murdoch saying, when I let go of what's in my hand, God lets go of what's in his hand. Now, isn't that one of the stupidest comments you've ever heard in your life? Like, what kind of God is he talking about? The God of the universe? He's looking at Mike Murdoch, and Mike's got money in his hand, and Mike lets it go, and then God sees Mike letting it go, and then, you know, God has money in his hand, and then he lets the money go. Now, that is ridiculous. Like, where are people's brains? The most important thing about being a Christian is that we're supposed to act like God, and we're supposed to do things out of love because God so loved the world that he gave. So we're supposed to love people and we're supposed to give like that, not because we want to get something back. You know, like we maxed out our credit cards and we're overextended on our mortgages, and so now we're going to you know, throw a few $1,000 over to Rod Parsley and to Paula White, and you know, God's going to see all that, and then he's just going to rain money out of the sky. Well, it doesn't work like that. You know, you might have to file for bankruptcy. You might have to go through some wilderness experiences. I'm not saying God can't get you out of it, because he can, but he might not do it in your timing. You might have to go around the mountain a few times before you finally learn your lesson. So, but, you know, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that we go to church on Sunday and we give our tithes, and then we look at the TV preachers, and we see who's got the best gig going on TV, and then we send them $1,000, and then, you know, God just miraculously delivers us from all our financial woes. Well, no, it doesn't happen like that. You might have to get a job. You might have to go back to school and learn a new trade. You know, there's some things you might have to do. So somebody posted a video today. I thought it was very interesting. Now, if you want to see something that's really insane, you won't believe yourself if you go to this video. If you go to YouTube, it's called The Christmas Day Money Room. And I think the pastor is Brandon Porter. Now, if you want to see something that you've probably never seen before in your life at a so-called church. Now, this is a church. People actually go here, and they actually get up in the morning and, you know, get dressed and drive over there and spend their time going over to this place. So the Christmas Day Money Room, they have a room full of kids, you know, teenagers and maybe younger than that kids. And they have all the kids kneeling on the floor. They're all kneeling. And there's all, they threw like pennies and quarters, and there's all money on the floor. And then I guess one of the elders or some other nut over there comes in, and he's throwing around bills, I know $10 bills or whatever, and they're throwing all this money around. And then they tell the kids, now the parents actually subjected their children to this, which is hard to believe too, that the parents allowed this. So then they turn the lights off, and then they tell the kids, okay, you can grab all the money you want. So the kids are groveling on the floor and picking up all this dirty money off the floor. Now, really, you know, what next? I wonder if the pastor of this church, you know, the guy that's there and he's egging them on to do this, I wonder if on Sunday he gets down on his knees on the floor and people throw money on the floor and he's picking the money up off the floor. I wonder if he allows people to treat him like that. But he treats other people's children like that, and then the parents allowed him to do that. That's kind of like a Jim Jones kind of thing, okay? Like, that's kind of a thing where you start drinking too much Kool-Aid and you go to a place that's called a church and you allow people to abuse you like that. You won't believe it when you see it, and you might want to send this guy an email with some of your thoughts. And you might have to be careful about what you say, because you might want to tell this person off, this Brandon Porter. I don't know if that's the pastor, but I couldn't believe what I was seeing. The Christmas money miracle. Anyway, I think that church should close up, and people should run for their lives from people like this. But we also had the other day, when I was looking at Rod Parsley, and we talked about this last week, and we also gave Rod Parsley the Golden Calf Award this year for the award for the best pimp preacher of 2014. And now Rod Parsley is selling water that people bring in the jugs of water and put it on the altar, and the water gets all kinds of anointing on it, and then you bring the water home, and I don't know what you do with it, but anyway, he's actually got people believing now. This is how, and he's got thousands of people there. You could see some of his services on the internet, and he actually has people believing that you can bring water to church and something miraculous happens to this water, and then you take it home and you drink it and you get miracles or whatever. So hard to believe, isn't it? Now, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that you've been delivered from this? Amen and amen and amen, right? And then we have Miss Paula White, who now is asking for $114. And if you send Paula $114, you will get grace and favor. Wow, $114. Well, that's a bargain, isn't it? I mean, that's a real bargain. You will get grace and favor from God, which if you read the Bible for yourself, we'll find out that those things are free. So we don't, Paula, we don't need your grace and favor because we know we can pray for free. You don't have to give anybody any money to pray for you. In fact, you can pray for yourself. It's nice to have other people pray for you. Yes, it is. It's nice to have people agree with you and to know that somebody cares enough about you to pray. Yes, that is nice, but you don't have to pay anybody to pray for you. You don't have to give any money to God to get your prayers answered, because he will answer your prayers freely. All you have to do is ask, and God is only going to give you what he feels like you can handle. He's not going to give you any more than that. He's a father, and he knows all about you. He knows you better than you know yourself. He created you, so he's just going to give you what he feels like you can handle. But anyway, some of the other things that we had, the other programs that we had this year. We talked about Pope Francis. Is he history's final pope? That was an interesting program that we did with David James. And what do you think about that? Do you think that Pope Francis is history's final pope? I don't. There'll probably be a few more. Also, we had with Steve Lumley, Nephilim. Now, this is the book of UFOs and the book of Enoch. Now, this is an interesting topic because I find it hard to believe that the devil has sold people this bill of goods that angels come down from heaven. Now, you know, the Bible says there's no marriage in heaven. You're spirits, so spirits don't have organs. I mean, they don't have blood. They don't have these things. And angels are spirits. Doesn't the Bible say they're ministering spirits? So fallen angels do not have organs, okay? They don't have blood. They say these fallen angels came down to earth and they had mated with human beings, and they've made children. Now, I've got a bridge I can sell you in Brooklyn if you would like to buy this bridge. If you actually believe that, no, that can't happen. That just doesn't happen. And there's actually all these books being written about this subject and conferences being held. I can't believe that this has become the industry that it has become. And they managed to take one little scripture out of Genesis 6 and build this whole false doctrine and false teaching. Don't waste your time on these small things that don't matter anyway, because it has nothing to do with your salvation. It's a distraction to distract you from what's really important. Nephilim is not important. UFOs are not important. They don't exist. The Book of Enoch, forget it. You can look at, go and investigate the Book of Enoch if you want, because you'll see that on most of the New Age occult websites, this is a very popular book. Well, the Bible isn't a very popular book on these websites, but the Book of Enoch is. So we don't have any business spending time on this foolishness when there's more important things to do than to believe that angels had children and there's these funny people running around. Well, yeah, there's some funny people running around, but they didn't come from angels mating with human beings. It just doesn't make any sense. So we also have had, now, what do you think? Do you think there's going to be an economic crash? I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. I put my faith and trust in God. So God, no matter what happens in this world, we don't have to be afraid. We still have great opportunities. The country that we live in, and we have great opportunities to be able to earn a living and to have a pretty good existence. So don't spend too much time being afraid of what's going to happen in the future, because no matter what happens, as long as we know God is on our side, we'll be okay. We also had the release this year of the Son of God movie, and we did a couple programs about that, very interesting programs, because you will find out that this lady and her husband, who Mark Burnett, is that his name? And Roma Downey, they are New Agers, and she actually studied with a New Age guru and got some kind of a degree from this New Age university in California. She is not a born-again Christian. She can talk about Jesus all she wants, but she's talking about some New Age Jesus, not the Jesus that we know. And so don't believe everything you see on Christian TV and everybody that calls himself a Christian. The Bible says, and Jesus said, by their fruit you will know them. Well, real born-again Christians don't go to New Age universities and study with gurus. We just don't do it. And then we don't let people like Della Reese marry us, and Della Reese is a New Age occult person herself. So it could, walk like a duck and quack like a duck, but it's still not going to be a duck. So just because they say, I'm a Christian and I love Jesus, I want to know, what Jesus are you talking about? Because the Bible talks about another Jesus. And so we have to be careful. Always look at things and make sure that we check it out with the Word of God. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then we have to just forget about it. We had a good program on the dangers of the emergent church movement. I encourage you to go back and look in the archives. If you like, we have 5 years of archives here for the Prophetic News program, and we've got some great programs, some wonderful guests that have great insight into things. We did a program with Jackie Alnor, and she attended a Unity conference at Pat Robertson's. Wow, that was amazing. There were some Catholics there. And really, the thing turned out to be a big flop. But she was there. Jackie went and she did a report on it. So that was very, very interesting. We did quite a few reports on a new book that came out about Paula White, of two books actually, First Fruits She-Wolf and First Fruits Fleecer. And I encourage you to get the book and listen to the programs. There's some wonderful information in there. These books have, the people that wrote the books did years worth of research on the topics, and you can take these books and use it to bless somebody. We had a great program in June with Derek Faison and his book, Motion to Defend. That was excellent. We also had some great tithing programs and tithing debate with David Lee and Ron Roby. And I encourage you to listen to those programs. And you can friend Ron Roby on Facebook. And also David Lee, his book, Sunday Morning Stick Up. You can get a copy of that. Excellent book and excellent teachings, because tithing was never money. If anybody can prove to me that it was money, if you can prove it to me, please email me, susan@propheticmuse.com. So far, nobody has been able to prove it to me. Tithing was not money. So we are free to give. We give freely, and we give to be a blessing to others. We don't give to get. Who likes that, right? I mean, does anybody like to be used? Does anybody only like people doing things for them to get something so they can get something back? I don't like that. Do you like that? So, like, why do we think God likes that? He doesn't. We're supposed to do things because it's like the Apostle Paul said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Don't you just get a good feeling when you give somebody something just because you did it as an act of kindness or an act of love? And it just makes you feel so good. You just feel blessed. And that's how it's supposed to be. Wouldn't we have a much better church? Wouldn't we have a much better world if, most of all, as Christians, we adopted that attitude? And that's what I want to see change, because these pimp preachers, there's too much of it. There's still too much. We haven't even made a little bit of headway in this area, but we haven't made enough. And I feel like it's one of the most important issues in the church today, is this whole issue with the money. I'm not opposed to people having money. If you have money and you earned it, then, you know, God bless you. That's your business, what you do with it and how you spend it. And it's your money. But not conning people and then, you know, using the Bible and using the name of Jesus to con people. That's the worst. But there's still too much of it. So I want to encourage people that listen to this program, get your own program. Anybody can have a program on Blog Talk Radio for free, for 15 minutes a day. You can have a free program. If you want something longer than 15 minutes, then you have to pay. But it's a very small fee. And you can have a voice out there. You can speak out about anything you want to speak out about. You can go and get a YouTube channel for free and have a voice out there. There's something that each and every one of us can do to get the gospel out and to try to make a change, because I know most of the people that listen to this program listen because they feel the same way I do about a lot of these issues that face the church today. We need to change this whole public persona of what the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ looks like, because it doesn't, from what the public sees on television, it doesn't really look like the church that Jesus founded.
So there's kind of this grassroots movement on the internet because they're not, I'm not getting invited to TBN. They're not going to invite me on there. I'm not getting invited on Daystar. They're not going to invite me. So the only way I can affect a change is to do whatever I can do to get the gospel out. And I'm trying, and there's other people trying. So I want to encourage people this year, do something for the kingdom of God this year. And let's do something to tear down this false representation of the Lord Jesus Christ in his church. It's not real. It's not how a lot of us feel as Christians, and we want to see some changes. So it's going to take each and every one of us doing something to affect a change, especially in the culture of the church, because we see such a division. I see it, especially with people, and I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. I like what Alveda King said, Martin Luther King's niece. She said, there is no race except the human race. There is no different races. There's only the human race. And we have to look at things like that as humans, one to another, that whatever different cultures, different ethnicities and things like that, but we are all members of the human race, and we should all care about one another no matter what color your skin is. So we have a lot to do in that area, is to mend these fences and to look at each other with respect and to follow the principles that Jesus laid down for us, is to love thy neighbor as thyself, and to walk in forgiveness, and to, because the Bible says, like, the works of the flesh, and you can go to Galatians and read the works of the flesh, and then you can see how we're supposed to walk in the Spirit, and that's what we have to do, is we can't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We have to do things the Bible way, and as the body of Christ, we have to unite under that the blood-stained banner of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we unite and we do things his way. And we lay aside the hatred and the bitterness and the anger, and let's walk in love and do things the way Jesus wants us to do things. Amen? So that's some of the things that I wanted to talk about. I want to thank everybody that's listened this year, and I want to hopefully that you have a great year in 2015, that 2015 will be a better year than 2014, and that God blesses your life and blesses your family, and that the Lord helps you, you know, start businesses or get a better job, get into that college you want to get into. Be self-reliant. Don't look for other people to solve your problems. Look to God to solve your problems. And he will help you solve your problems. He will. We have to be accountable for our lives, and we have to try to do what we can do to make changes without trying to be a burden to other people, because most of us got ourselves into messes, and we have to try to get ourselves out. Amen. But I hope and I pray that next year will be a better year for you, and that God will bless you and help you to get that better house or to get a car, if you need a car. Whatever it is that you really, really need, that God will bless you, that God will save your children and your unsaved family members, that the Lord will send laborers, because sometimes it's not us that can reach our family, but that God has laborers, and we pray ye, the Lord of the harvest, for laborers to go into the field and to minister to your family. Some of the things that they haven't been able to receive from you, that God would send others so that they can receive the good news of the gospel and to have the life that God freely gives us, the good life, the life of peace, the life of joy. And, wow, it's a wonderful life to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's my prayer for you, is that next year will be better than this year, and that whatever God has given you to do, whether it be a book or a video or a radio program or a singing ministry or whatever it is that he has given you to do, that you will do it. You will not procrastinate, but you'll run with that vision that the Lord has given you and do something to help build the kingdom of God, where you can tell someone, because all of us that know Jesus Christ, it was because someone told us. And in my case, it was a one-on-one. I didn't get saved in church. I met an evangelist, and he witnessed to me, and they kept witnessing to me, and I gave my life to the Lord in a motel room that I lived in. And so each and every one of us, probably for the most part, we heard the gospel from another person. And so maybe that person is you. Maybe that person is you that can tell someone else the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and of his salvation, of his forgiveness of sins, of his promise of eternal life in heaven. So maybe it's you that has that good word for someone. But let the Lord use you this year. Don't be intimidated. Don't be afraid. Just run with it. And we started this program about five and a half years ago. And God has blessed it, and he has used it. And so as long as the Lord wants me to do it, I'll do it. And we'll try to bring more guests on with different teachings and different topics that are relevant. So we're just trying to do our little part. But God bless you all this year. And remember, the most important thing is, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you ask him to come into your life today. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and to give you the gift of eternal life. Read the third chapter of John today. Read the book of Romans. And remember that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need his forgiveness. We all need to be born again. And us that have been born again, that we would never trade it in for anything. We would never go back to our old life again. God bless you all. And thank you so much for being with me today. See you again. Bye-bye. Thanks, Charles.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. Someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Thank you. going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.